Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the heels of still another mass shooting last week on Friday in Aurora, Illinois, it is another reminder, and we're so sensitive to that here because of the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting on October 27th. But it does open up a big question.
Yeah, are you prepared? And how do you dance that fine line of not being so freaked out of the possibility, but also being prepared? And that's where I guess we all need to be.
And joining us on our Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline from Davenport, Iowa, Brian Hammer, the chair of the American Society of Safety Professionals Technical Report Committee and a retired police lieutenant. Good morning, Lieutenant.
Good morning.
Brian, you know, every time we see one of these shootings, I literally every time, you see the interview with someone who says, I never thought it could happen here. And I think we all feel that way, that that's always going to be something that happens somewhere else. And you don't want to freak everybody out. You don't want to live your life in paranoia. But there's a difference between that and being prepared, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And our studies have shown that you execute as you plan. So the more that we train people what to do when a situation happens, the better off they'll be. And when we look at the FBI statistics, we see that, you know, these incidences increased over 50% between 2016 and 2017, and more importantly, the deaths increased between those same time frames up to three times the highest count ever. So it is a situation, and the American Society of Safety Professionals would like to get companies to be prepared to help be proactive in protecting their employees at their workplace.
Well, you explained it as growing up in the tornado belt where you and all young children are taught what to do in that type of emergency. And you say we should be that prepared for the possibility, even though it may never and hopefully never would arrive at our workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. When you ingrain that training into your employees and you do it on a consistent basis, they'll be able to maybe execute the plan that you developed. And what we developed here with our technical report is a system for a company to go through to help get that plan together. And the first step for them would be to assess what is their risk, what is their vulnerability, what are their threat levels that they have at their facility. Of course, that depends on, you know, the size of the company and that, you know, when I go into my office building, I'm first met by an armed security guard. But my wife, who works at a smaller manufacturing company, until just recently when she got promoted, the first person that you would meet going into her building was her as a receptionist. So, you know, the idea that it doesn't matter the size of the company, if we plan for this, we might be able to reduce that risk. Safety people are good at recognizing risk, and this is a safety organization, and our goal is always to lower risk to as low as reasonably possible.
Yeah, but does that mean that we are going to live our lives behind bulletproof glass everywhere we go? Isn't that impractical?
Yeah, it is. And if you take the workplace, work still needs to be done. I mean, we still have to produce a product. I do a lot of my work in the transportation area, you know, where warehouses have large doors that are open all day long. So work still has to be done, but by taking a hard look at what systems we have in the place, and they can be target hardening where we try to reduce the access to our facilities, and that could be fences, that could be more secure locked doors, to the softer controls, which are, you know, safety procedures and stuff that where we, you know, limit, you know, who can get into what facility and that type of thing. We can reduce that risk and try to get it as low as reasonably possible. It's important as we think about spending money, and we were very concerned when we wrote the technical report to not add a ton of expenses to anybody trying to implement this. But there are certainly some unique ways that we can increase our safety that aren't cost effective. I think some of your fellow listeners probably know that you're as old as I am, so back in the day, cameras used to be very expensive. You used to have to mount them and wire them Today, wireless cameras are relatively inexpensive. I can put a camera on my front doorbell. So even small employers can equip their facilities with cameras to help them, keep their facilities safe in that respect. But what we wanted to do is get people together and make sure they understood that a plan takes some doing. Again, the first part of that plan is to assess that risk. Once they've assessed that risk and make some suggestions and possibly some changes, develop a plan. That plan might be to add a fence, add lights, add cameras, add door buzzing systems, those types of things. And then the last one would be to train the employees. And training employees is extremely important. We want to make sure employees understand how to recognize first signs of potential threats. Because not every case is going to be one where it's somebody they don't know. Actually, more often than not, it will be somebody they do know. So if we can train employees to recognize statements made by coworkers and develop a system where that employee can report that, without being afraid in that respect. The old adage, see something, say something, we're going to add the see something, hear something, say something.
So
now
if
they can report any defaults in the security, like, how do I make sure that doors are consistently locked? And unfortunately, the last thing we want employees to be trained on is exactly how to respond during that incident.
Right.
Where can a company
at our facility, that's going to be different than at your facility, but we'd have to train on that. What are they supposed to do when that incident happens? How do they secure in place? How do they run, hide, or fight if that is the necessity at their location?
And where can a company or employees get this kind of information to maybe start and create that plan?
Yeah, the technical report that we're talking about is what I call a blueprint for a company, especially a small company that maybe doesn't have a large security department, to get that plan. And it's available at the American Society of Safety Professionals, and their website is ASSP.org.
Brian Hammer, chair of the American Society of Safety Professionals. We appreciate the information. Thanks so much, Brian.
We appreciate the time today, and thank you to your listeners.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.